to marriage beyond the vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back. We thank you for joining us. We're now in the second half of today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We are talking about beyond hope. So give us a call so you can be a part of today's discussion. 855-454-5905. When we left off in the middle of a conversation, I believe, with Dion.
Yeah, I think Dion from the Garden State is on the line. And she was talking about, and Dion, are you there?
Yes, I am.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. And right before the break, we were having a great conversation with Dion, who was basically sharing that she's a mother, a great wife. She's also a student, and she has two jobs, yet her husband is not really grateful for that. As a matter of fact, he's been overspending and really going over the limit in terms of taking money out of the account or something like that. Is that correct, Dion?
Yes, it's correct.
So does your husband work? Is he currently working?
Yes, he's working. He's a police officer, and he also has a second job at night.
Okay.
And our goal was, that, you know, our agreement was that he would give me the checks from the police station and he would keep his nighttime checks for himself. And he's been telling me that he's been paying his little credit card bills and things like that. But I have all of these creditors calling me for him, and I have car insurance is behind, and a lot of things are just falling behind.
Okay.
So I tried counseling through a Christian center, and we went one time, and he didn't want to go back because he felt like the lady wasn't co-signing with him, and we actually got into a physical altercation where he held me down and choked me.
Whoa.
Because he felt he didn't feel the need to attend counseling. And then he came later on and hugged me and thought it was funny and said, oh, we had our first fight. So just, you know, to keep it simple, I am at my breaking point. Like, I mean, because I feel like he doesn't want to watch the kids while I go to school at night. You know, it's all about him, and he has no concept of family and, you know, what marriage life is all about. He doesn't want to try to work on things in regards to getting help so that we could become a stronger union. So I'm just trying to figure out which way do I go, what prayer do I seek, what scripture do I read, because, you know, I want to go further in life, and it seems as though he's just trying to pull me back.
Sure, sure. And Dion, if I get this correctly, let me just go back and question one thing here. When he grabbed you, you said he put his hands around your neck, and then
yes,
he just later made light of it. What was your response?
I just cried. I didn't know what else to do. I just cried. I was upset, you know, and by him being a police officer, I didn't want to, you know, have the police. I didn't know what to do.
Okay. All right.
I didn't know what to do.
Well, I think that's, I want to focus on that for a minute, because something's really wrong, especially the fact that he made light of that.
Right.
And I think you got to make sure that you don't. I'm not saying you're unforgiving, but you got to be like, listen, this is serious. This is, and when he is in a better state of mind, what I would encourage you to do is definitely pray. You want to put God and allow God to be in the center of the relationship. But I think you need to sit down with your husband and have a courageous conversation and just let him know, this is what I'm thinking. I'm concerned about X, Y, and Z, about the counseling, about the credit card out of control, all these things. But I just want to sit down and talk about one thing. You put your hands on me, and I'm considering leaving you. And
right,
really making it clear and say, listen, honey, the only way I would feel good about us working in this relationship is if we go to someone for help. We cannot do this by ourselves, because he can't hear it from you. He's going to think you're emotional. He needs to hear, and I recommend that it'll be a man that can talk to him and say, listen, what you did is wrong, man to man. You're messing up. And
Okay. Are
there things that you need to change, Dion? I'm sure. But before
right,
you can deal with anything else, that has to be dealt with. And he needs to take full responsibility. He needs to get help. He needs to get open. You know, I love the Bible because it gives us the solutions, right? The Bible says in James 5 that you confess your sins to someone, to one another, and you pray for one another so that you can be healed. There's something powerful about talking to other brothers as men, other men in your life, right, as women, other women in your life, and other people in your life who are praying for you but are also holding you accountable. Accountability is necessary. So that would be my encouragement more than anything else. You can't move on. You got so many other things to deal with, but those things are light in comparison to him putting his hands on you.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No problem. You too, Dion. Absolutely.
All right.
God bless.
All right. Take care. Let's go to line two and speak with an anonymous caller from Charlotte. Caller, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi. I wanted to speak with you, and I just want to say good morning and God bless.
Good morning.
I was married to someone, and I'm currently separated, but I was married to someone for about 19 years.
Okay.
And he just felt at that point that we outgrew each other. His career was booming. He was bringing in maybe $300,000 to $400,000 a year, honestly. So he, and also he was not faithful to the marriage. So I decided that I would no longer continue with the marriage, and I would pursue filing for a separation. So we did separate, and he decided to leave the country after his contract had ended. Well, this was approximately 11 years ago, and now he wants to have me come back into the picture, come visit, and I don't know where to go with that. I do care about my husband. I'm pretty much still legally married to him, but I have been living, I reclaimed my life back to Christ, and I'm just living a totally different life now.
Okay.
So the decision is it that maybe God is putting it back together? I am not dating. I have not dated since I separated because I was not legally divorced. So I try to go according to the word. And now he wants me to come visit. We do have two beautiful sons that are doing extremely well. So my boys have graduated from college. They're doing extremely well. But my husband really, really disappointed me. And I had to struggle for those years on my own and just get my mind and everything back together. And the trust, I don't know, should I trust this reunion?
Okay.
You know, so that's where I am. Should I trust, you know, should I date him? You know, I feel, you know who I am. You know what I'm all about.
Okay. Well, let me do this. I'm going to give you some biblical advice, and I'm also going to give you some personal advice. This is the advice, I'll make it clear, that's from me and what is from the Bible. Okay, number one, I think, you know, the Bible is very clear about putting things before him and trusting him. You know, God will make your paths clear, and I think what you're doing is excellent. You've used this opportunity to rebuild your relationship with God. It sounds like you had that at one time, you lost it, and through this time, you've decided, right, to go back. And I think that's amazing. That's incredible, and that's commendable. Keep this in mind. You know, God has a plan, but the devil has a plan right behind it. And so the devil would love to get you sidetracked, you know, to get you discouraged or whatever. And so I think, number one, you're still married, so God honors marriage. What I don't want you to do is, and this is where my advice comes in, don't complicate things by stepping back into the relationship too quickly. Like if you go visit him, my encouragement would be don't sleep with him. It's not sin if you do, it's your husband, but that is just my advice, because I think sometimes when people start getting emotionally connected and starting over again, they don't deal with the real issues. And so, but I think, you know, biblically speaking, your husband is still your husband. And so you can probably win him over. You can show him with your life. The Bible talks about that. It makes it real clear that women should not, the beauty should come from within, not from outward things. So I'm not saying you don't hook yourself up, look beautiful, but I think it starts with a conversation. If he's willing to have that talk, he wants you to go visit, just make that real clear. Listen, we really are just talking. Yeah. We're not going back. You know, if he tries to wine and dine you, just keep in mind, there's a lot of baggage there and there's hope. I think it's encouraging, honestly. I think it's great news that he wants to work at this. It just has, he has to respect your pace. He has to respect your new conviction or your renewed conviction. And I think you take it from there.
Okay.
I think it's a very good thing, though. You know, 19 years, two beautiful sons, you know, success, a lot of blessings. You know, I would encourage you, make sure you're just not hasty in going back and allow God to move in the situation.
I do appreciate that.
All right. Well, thank you
so
much.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Be blessed.
All right, take care. Don't you touch that dial. We're going to take a brief pause, but we will return with more conversation, and we'd love for you to be a part of it. 855-454-5905. Marriage Beyond the Vows returns after this.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praised.
And a very good morning to you. Welcome back to today's edition of Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're in the final segment of today's show. We're talking about Beyond Hope, and we're looking forward to your phone call at 855-454-5905. Marcos, let's go to the phones and speak with Lee, calling in on line one. Lee, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Okay, so my question is, what can I do to basically connect more with my husband spiritually and more affectionately? Now, we've been together since April, I'll say, of last year. And we were just recently married in June of this year.
Okay.
We're in our 20s, and we both are believers. We both are connected with our pastor. When we were just, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, we, you know, defiled our marriage bed. We were sexually interactive. And I told him, I got to the point, I said, this is not the way God, you know, have it to be, and if we're not going to do it the right way, then I don't think we should be doing it at all. So, you know, it was, you know, argument at first, and then, you know, I held my guns. I stuck to, you know, what I felt the Lord was telling me. And he wound up proposing mm-hmm. in March of this year, and we wound up tying the knot in June.
Okay.
We wound up tying the knot in June. And now it's just like the affection isn't there anymore. The spirituality, like I want to be more connected. Like we aren't really connected physically, but my thing is I want to be more connected spiritually. And if we are more connected spiritually, then everything else will fall in line.
Okay, Lee, let me get this straight. So you and your boyfriend at the time, before he was your husband, you had you were sexually involved. You knew it was wrong. You stopped. But it sounds like, and I'm not trying to make any assumptions, but do you think you had a more passionate sex life before you were married as opposed to now that you're married?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think is the reason for that?
I don't know.
Okay. You know, there are a lot of risky scriptures that I can share, but the main thing I want to tell you is that sometimes we have lust and not love. And that doesn't mean that it's hopeless. It just sounds like to me that you had a relationship where the foundation was lustful. It was lust. And then now you're learning, okay, what love truly is, which is so much greater than lust. And so what it sounds like to me is you married a man who was really more concerned about you physically, or wanted you physically more than really the commitment of marriage. And so it sounds like he got serious about marriage when you said, okay, no more. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing where God can't fix that, but it just sounds like, you know, things were backwards. It's not the right way. You repented, now you're married. Now you can be as intimate as you want, and now that's lacking. And there's a reason. There's a reason for it. Your foundation wasn't right. And so my question is this. What did you do before, or how did you have romantic times that is lacking now? Like, what are some things that you can do to spice up your relationship now? I mean, you're in your 20s. You should be having the time of your life. You've been married only a few months. I mean, you really should be enjoying one another more than anyone else.
Right.
Not that I don't want you to call in, but you should be with someone calling in just praising God because everything's so awesome. Instead, you're having some challenges. So what do you think you need to do that is lacking? I mean, you might even know the answer before I give it to you.
Oh, well, I've tried, you know, praying about it. I've tried talking to him about it and letting him know, you know, I've tried, you know, the candle thing, the romantic thing. I've tried all of it. And, you know, just telling him, because I was talking to my older sister, who has been married for the last 15 years, about the situation, mm-hmm. you know, just to get some insight from her a couple of weeks ago. And she, the main thing she told me was, you know, tell them how you feel. And I've tried it, and it's not, that hasn't worked. The romantic thing hasn't worked. The prayer, I'm definitely keeping it before God, and I'm asking him even, like, Lord, what is it that I'm not doing that I should be doing? Or, you know, like, I don't know what it is.
Okay.
All right. It's very frustrating. So, you know, touch him and try to engage in that type of act, and I'm just getting turned down. I'm, you know, putting on the lingerie and all that, trying to, you know, not entice, but, you know.
I got you. Show,
I want things to get better, and it's like, oh, whatever, everything is more important.
So have you asked him what he wants?
No.
Okay. Because I think, you know, that is probably the number one mistake that young couples make, is they assume what the other person wants. You put the candles, you did this. I'll be honest with you. When there's romantic candles in my bedroom, it's because that's what my wife wants. I could care less. Now, that doesn't mean we don't do it because that's what she likes. But the reality is there are times where it's about what do I want? And it sounds like to me, you need to be willing to do what your husband wants, you know, within reason, as long as it's biblical. Now, and what I mean by that is, I mean, the marriage bed should be kept undefiled, but you're free. You're married. There are so many things you can do. You can be creative. He can have desires and passions. Now, as long as you don't bring someone else to the marriage bed, as long as you don't bring, you know, any kind of lustful, you know, pornography or anything like that. But besides that, you're free to do what you want within the confines of your marriage. And so I want to encourage you to go to him and say, honey, I want there to be an evening where I just do what you want. You tell me what you want. And I think that in itself, it's obvious that he had a desire for you because that's what he wanted. He was being, you know, he wanted this. He married you, so he's committed to you. Ask him what he wants and give him what he wants and needs.
Well, I understand exactly what you're saying, but a couple of weeks ago, he brought up the fact that he wanted a threesome. I'm not doing it.
Exactly. See, so then this is the problem, and that's what I was concerned about. The foundation, your husband is being pulled in by lust. And look, I'm not trying to tell you this so that you can say, oh, my goodness, I messed up. But you should not have married a man who was more concerned. You were saying no to sex, and he was saying, yes, I want to still be physical. And you're saying, no, I want to be a Christian. I want to do the right thing. And he's like, come on, why can't you give me what I want? And then you finally give him what he wants because you get married, and now he's asking for something that you know is immoral and wrong. There's a spiritual disconnect And I think, number one, you need to put your foot down and say, honey, there's some things, no way. I'm pleasing God first. I'm here to please you, but God comes first, and we ain't doing that.
I told him that.
All right. Now, that same pastor that you got with that gave you premarital counseling, have you both sat down with him and let him know, okay, we got married, this is what's going on, this is what my husband is asking for?
Yes, I've talked to her. It's a woman. We have a woman pastor, and I've talked to her about the situation. Even it was at one point the pornography that you brought up that was taking place. Like, it's like he's more attracted to the foreign than his wife. And like I said, we are newlyweds, and she was telling him, you know, we, our eyes and our ears, that we're supposed to, you know, make sure that, be careful of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and what we are engaging our extracurricular, our time into.
Mm-hmm.
She talked to both of us about it.
All right, Lee, your marriage is in trouble. You need to get radical. I want to encourage you. I would love for your husband to call me and talk to me, because there is some serious issues he has with lust. This is taking over his life. If he doesn't get radical about this, this is a spiritual issue. It's not a sexual issue. It's not even an emotional issue. It really is spiritual. The emotional, the sexual come later. But this is spiritually. He has to be willing to do it God's way and trust how God knows what's best. What he's trying to bring to the marriage is destructive.
Right.
And I'm grateful you're putting your foot down. Listen, you got to give him a lot of hope. Say, honey, I want to give you all I got. I want to give you all of me. But it has to be done God's way, because that's what works. If not, you won't have a marriage. It won't work. It'll be a disaster.
And that's what I'm afraid of.
And I think you're doing the right thing, Lee. All I want to encourage you is be hopeful and, look, encourage your husband. Say, listen, if talking to this female pastor didn't work, there are some men you need to get in your husband's life. He needs that. Saying, who are some spiritual men that can talk to man? Look, this is not going to work. You're messing up. He needs a rebuke. I mean, that's what the Bible talks about, being rebuked. It's like, are you crazy? He's going to destroy what God has given you. So many couples wish they had what you have. You have a marriage. You found that person. That's what the Bible talks about. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. But what is he doing? He's turning around and wants more, wants what God hasn't given him. He's going to destroy his life, his marriage. He'll end up like Proverbs chapter 5. The man in Proverbs 5. And you can read that when you have some time, but it really is a spiritual issue. I'm grateful you called, but he's the one that should be calling.
Okay.
All right, Lee, let him know. Tell him what I said, and hopefully he wants to pick up the phone and give us a call as well.
This is the number he'll call, the number that...
Yeah, just call that number. Call during the show, though. I want to talk to him face-to-face or on the air.
He's working. He's been working so far, so I don't think he's going to have time to do it today.
Okay, that's fine. We only have a few more minutes on the show. But, I mean, just relay this message to him. There needs to be more conversation about this.
Okay.
All right, and you stand firm.
Thank you.
Okay, Lee, thank you.
All right, take care. Let's go to line 5 and speak with Jesse, calling out of the Pennsylvania area. Jesse, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning. God bless.
God bless you, too. Jesse, thank you so much for your call. What could we help you with this morning? I know that we're talking about having hope for your marriage. What kind of hope can we encourage you with?
The hope that I need is, I need guidance towards my marriage. I am 31 years old. My wife is 49 years old.
Hello, you there?
Yeah, my wife, she... My battery's going low. I'm sorry. I apologize. Let me plug it up right now. But my wife, she's 49. I'm 31. And we are having this issue with drugs. I am in Christ. She is in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife is leaving Christ for drugs.
Okay. What kind of drugs are we talking about?
It's a hard battle.
What kind of drugs is she using?
She is using crack cocaine.
Now, was this an issue when you were dating?
No, it wasn't. She was clean when I met her.
Okay. And did she have a past with drug abuse? Did you have that pass as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
But you're clean?
Yes, I'm clean today. Yes.
Okay.
I'm
well, it took it took you a moment to. When's the last time you picked up?
So I could say about a year ago.
Okay. And how long you been married now?
We have been married for 2.5 years.
So during the marriage, she's using, you've used.
Yes, but my use, I'm not glorifying me over her, and I don't want to down my wife at all because I love her with all my heart. I used recreational at a party. That was the last time I used at my sister's Christmas party.
Okay, and was she there?
No, she wasn't there. My wife doesn't come around my family because she says because they smoke weed and they drink. But my wife, she just seems like she wants to do the drugs by herself. She wants to do these things by herself, and she wants to creep around and do these things.
Mm-hmm.
And I've even laid it on the table as to where, all right, if you want to do drugs, go ahead your way, I go my way. You know, we tried that. She stopped doing drugs this summer. I left. And I came back September 1st, and she was clean and sober for about a week. And then she relapsed again while I was just coming back. And then I tried to get her right back into the church. And it's just a struggle, and it's so hard. And she will not go to rehab, and she put the blame on me and says, "You're still getting high. I can take a piss test, a urinate. I can take
a drug test
whenever.
Test.
I'm okay. Not getting high today, you know, and I just don't. I love my wife so much, and I love my family. We have a great union, and I'm with a pastor right now doing a job, and I work a lot. I have two businesses.
Okay. All right, Jesse, hold on. Don't get
service, and I have a
Jesse.
Small
don't get sidetracked. All right, that's all good. But here's the issue. Romans 7 talks about being powerless. When someone has an addiction, like crack cocaine or just an addiction, they get to that point where they're powerless. Now God is powerful, but we're powerless. And that's what Romans 7 talks about. It's the good I want to do, but I can't do, and I can't, you know, and it sounds like, what's going on there? I believe there's even a part of your wife. She's saying she doesn't want to be around your family. You're saying this. You're powerless, and she's powerless. And until you both get to that point where you're saying you're powerless, when someone is an addict and they refuse to go to rehab, they're basically saying they got this. They got it. They're okay. They don't need the help. See, when someone sees that they're powerless, they'll do whatever it takes, anything you need to do, anything, you do it. And I think you say you didn't want to glorify your drug use, but man, you've messed up. You can't say you're clean when you haven't been clean. You might be clean today, but you haven't showed your wife the example as well. You've gone back. I don't care if it was at a party or it was by yourself. You both are different kind of users, but you're users. And you're abusers, and you're doing something that's harmful and is destroying your marriage. And look, you can't come in like you're the clean one and she's the messed up one. You're both messed up. You both need help. You really do. And honestly, as I hear you here, Jesse, my heart, I feel you, bro, but I hear this. I hear you're saying you're good. You got this. Your wife doesn't. And until you see you both have an issue, you both have a problem, maybe she's using a lot more than you have. But you've done it too. And that's why she doesn't respect you, because you're coming across like you're the expert. You're the one that's never done it, but you have. And so you got to say, listen, I've messed up. You've messed up. We need help. We need to figure out how to make this marriage work. If I need to stay away from my family, I will, whatever it takes. But you both need to get yourselves and go as a team. That's why the Bible says the two become one. You need to go with her, and she needs to go with you. And it's not just to help her, because you've done that too. And, you know, one of the things that I love when people are recovering is when they start coming to the realities of the truth, and they say something like, you know what, I can never say I'm an ex-addict. I'm an addict, and I'm still an addict, and I'm addicted, and I got to fight this one day at a time. And that's why I need to be close to God. When they have that sober judgment of themselves, there's so much power in that. I don't hear that from you, my bro. It's concerning. And the Bible says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. You're not far from falling yourself. Do you believe that?
With all my power. But God is helping me every day to keep those drugs away. With my wife, the only thing I don't see in her is she's not using the Lord's power and the faith that she has to keep that away from her like I do.
And you know what? Then you need to help her, but together, realizing, look, you're one step away from falling yourself. And so if you got to run, you got to flee, you got to be indignant of it. I think what you did when you came back and she was clean was awesome. But what happened that week after she picked up again? Because you're still with her, right?
Yeah.
Like the consequence was helping. You were gone and she's like, I'm going to get clean. You come back, things are back to normal. She gets high again. So,
yeah, I don't know what it was that made her get high. She got comfortable because we have money coming in because of the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she got comfortable and she has a friend that sells it. And that's what made her fall.
Well, it made her fall. She wanted it. You don't fall. She walked right into it. But I think you both, if you can go with her to a rehab, not just for her, but listen, we both need this.
For both of us, yes.
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
All right, Jesse. Well, thank you so much. We'll definitely be praying for you. I think the devil is working powerfully, but he's not more powerful than God. You know that. You've seen it for yourself.
Yes.
All right, Jesse. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, and God bless.
All right. Take care. All right, take care. Let's go to Antoinette, who is, okay. Yes, let's go to Antoinette, who is calling in on line three. Antoinette, good morning. You're live on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're doing very well. Is this Antoinette?
Yes.
Okay, hi. Welcome. We're talking about having hope in your marriage here on Marriage Beyond the Vows. What's going on with your relationship right now?
So my husband and I have been married for 2 years. And I've been really going through emotional abuse. I didn't realize that it was emotional abuse until really speaking with a counselor.
Mm-hmm.
He basically has cheated in this marriage, has stepped outside of the marriage, and he has used manipulation many of times. He's even told me that he's never stepped out. I actually had to find out through text messaging, through pictures. He has struggled with pornography as well, and he always brings it back to me stating, you know, I should be there for him. And I was there for him when he has done this many occasions, you know, tried to pray with him, stay positive, and change my lifestyle for him. But he continually has done it to the point where he has cheated while I was pregnant.
Mm.
He has gone out, and I was 8 months pregnant. And I found out through, again, through text messages and things. And then he came back home and stated that he didn't do anything. Come to find out a week later, I actually met the female and we had a discussion. And it just really hurt because I had to walk down the street and actually see this situation. We went through marriage counseling. He sat there, again, manipulative, saying that he wanted to change. And like every month, he's stating how he wants to change, how he wants to get counseling. But He keeps saying that he wants to go out there and find someone, but no one ever calls him back. So he keeps using excuses. And
yeah, it sounds like there are a ton of excuses. Antoinette, are you still together?
Yes, we are. I filed for divorce before, and he didn't sign. So again, we're living together. We're back together. We have two young daughters. So yes, we are.
Okay. Well, why? Why are you back together?
Mainly because him, as well as the Christian faith, when speaking to females, they were saying, you know, people go through things, you have to pray, and God will restore it. Again, he's been manipulative the entire time, stating that he doesn't want this relationship, and that he will change, you know, and the Lord will help us, that I should just be here, because everybody has an addiction of some sort, but, you know, the spouse should stick it out, because we'll eventually get through it.
Okay, and do you believe that?
I don't believe it now. Again, in the beginning when situations like this happened, I told myself that, you know, it happened a couple times. you know, he'll eventually get through it. Again, we went through counseling, we took steps, but he keeps, it's keep reoccurring, and it's not changing. So, okay. No, I don't believe it anymore.
Right. This is just my opinion, okay? But there's a scripture in Luke 18, and Jesus is having a talk with this man who has it all. He's rich. It's called the rich young ruler. And it's in Luke 18, verse 18. And he goes on, and he wants a relationship with God. And Jesus stops him and says, okay, well, give up everything to follow me. And he walks away. He doesn't do it. Now, we know Jesus doesn't believe that having wealth is a sin. God himself blesses us, right? However, for this man, it was about surrender. It's about trust. It's about, okay, if you really want this relationship, then you got to give it up. The man couldn't do it. And Jesus didn't beg him. Jesus didn't come back with a better offer, you know, a counter offer. Oh, well, maybe not all, maybe half. You know, no, Jesus just let him walk. Mm-hmm. I use this passage in your case to help you to see that you have a relationship with your husband, but it's not according to what you deserve and according to the vows that you made. And so you have absolute right to say, honey, I want you, but I expect you to be faithful. I expect you to be honest. You should not be watching pornography. I mean, if I need to step it up and meet your needs physically some more, then we can talk. We can work this together. But there's some things that you cannot do and be with me. It's just not going to work. It's dangerous for you. I mean, the health implications, the diseases you can have by him going out there, it's emotionally destroying you. It's not a spiritual marriage. You have beautiful children. It's going to affect the children. And so you got to at some point say, okay, there are boundaries for this relationship. Now, do people struggle? Do people have issues? Of course, we all do. And we made vows to take each other for better, for worse. However, that doesn't mean that these other things that are outside of the marriage are okay. Meaning that you have to say, listen, there should be no one else but me. And it's not other people's fault. When someone is not taking responsibility, like he's not ready to change, and he won't change. He's a liar. You can't believe him. That's the problem. And so what I tell people is when you're dealing with a liar, you could only believe their actions because their actions are very clear. Their words are not. And so for your husband, it's their hope, of course, if he totally turns his life around and changes, but he's not shown you that because he's not even taking responsibility. So should you move on from this marriage? I mean, if you don't, that marriage is going to move on anyway. It's not going to work. So you have to take control and say, this is what we're going to do. And if you really want this, this is what you're going to do. And it's okay. But you have to want it, no one else. Because I've seen this where we can give you the advice, we can give you the tools, you can see it so clearly in God's word, and then you still say, well, I don't know, I want this man, I want to work this out. You deserve so much better. Your children deserve better. What he's doing is wrong. He's treating you wrong. He's not faithful. It's just destructive. And I hope and pray you make the right decision because God gives you the way out. I mean, if he's been unfaithful, you're not the one breaking up the marriage. He's done that.
Yeah.
And so don't ever feel like, all right, it's you. You're giving up. No, he's shown you over and over again he cannot be trusted. And until he shows you anything different, you can't believe him. I don't care what he says. He's going to say all the right things. He's going to say he's sorry. He said he'll never do it again. But he's been lying the whole time. And then on top of that, it is abusive because he's blaming you. So now you're walking away feeling like it's your fault that he's doing all these things. It's not your fault. So I hope and pray he comes to his right senses and to his right mind. But you can't go after him because if you do, then it's only going to say all you're saying is it's okay. Then you can have this marriage during, you know, your terms, not God's terms. And you didn't set up those boundaries, by the way. God did. Yeah. All right. And Antoinette, I tell you, you sound defeated. God always blesses it when you trust him. He'll never let you down. And I don't know how that would translate and what it would look like, but I tell you this much, it always works out. Whether it's with him or whether the marriage doesn't work and God blesses you with someone else that you never would have been with, who's faithful, who loves God. I don't know what it looks like, but I know it always works out when you trust him. Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. I'm sorry it's not what you probably wanted to hear, but this is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
All right, Antoinette. Thank you so much for your call.
Be blessed. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Do we have time for one more? We have time for one more call for today. Let's go to Jay. Is that Jay?
Jay?
All right. So we have Jay in Philly calling in on line four. Jay, good morning. You're live on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. I'm like in a blended family relationship, and we have a total of five children. And through the years, we have gone through marital counseling and family counseling, but doesn't seem to be put first. And also, I think a lot of the issues that I'm going through is because I never prayed to God first. Mm-hmm. And so I'm in this situation now, and I'm just trying to figure out what can I do. I mean, I love and cherish my wife, but the fact is, though, it's that conflict with the children seems to be first, always. So can I get some advice on
how can I
just take it to God? And I did not take it to him. I wasn't praying on it. I was just doing things on my own, and that's how financially I got strapped and all this other mm-hmm. stuff got strapped, and I'm just lost.
Okay. Well, two things real quickly, Jay. Thank you so much for your call. I know you want hope. I know you're fighting for your marriage. It's obvious. And number two, blended marriages are tough. I mean, marriage in itself is challenging. When you add the components of other children, I mean, it's just tough. And then on top of the children, sometimes you have to deal with the previous relationship and the parents of those children. Yeah. I mean, it is complicated. And so what do I tell people? What you said earlier. You said you need to pray and bring it to God. You need to do that even more than the average person. Everybody. I mean, we need to go to God in prayer for our marriages. We need him. But you needed more. Now, my question for you is your wife willing to pray with you as you go through these struggles?
No. Only on occasion, but no.
So have you asked her to commit to you to praying every day? Would you and your wife, would you think she'll commit to this? Say, honey, let's take this month and let's just pray every day for our marriage, for our families.
I think, though, other circumstances always comes in the way, and we cannot set a set time to pray all the time. So it's just been, and then when I try to say, let us pray, I'll do the praying, but okay, amen. So I'm just so curious as to, I know I'm caught in a situation now, and I just wonder if, I'd never prayed to God and asked him to help us make the decision. It's always been on what I felt to do, and that's why I've been strapped of just about everything.
I got you.
And I'm just at a loss.
And you know what I think? It's you have the answer right in front of you. You said you need to do this. James 4 talks about if you know the good that you ought to do, but you don't do it, it is sin for you. And so, Jay, even if your wife won't do it with you, I want to make sure you're praying. So let's start right now, all right? We're going to wrap up our show. I want to close this out in a word of prayer. I'm going to pray for you and your family. And then I want to encourage you for the next 30 days, every single day, I want you to take this before God. Okay?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. God in heaven, we thank you so much for marriages, Father, for the blessings, and sometimes even for the challenges that come with marriage. Father, I do pray for Jay and for his marriage, his blended family. Father, I do pray that you'll just work through them, Father. Help his wife to see the need for prayer as well. But most importantly, help Jay to be faithful, to be steadfast, and to be strong. Father, we love you. We pray so much for all the hurting relationships, the ones who are in abuse, the ones who are struggling, the ones who are losing hope. Father, we know that you can change any and every situation. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jay, thank you so much. Have a blessed day. And everyone else, thank you so much for joining us today. We really are appreciative. We hope and pray that today's program did inspire you mm-hmm. to have some more hope, to realize God has the answers that you are searching for.
Absolutely. And we want to say thank you so much to Ron, our producer down in Charlotte, and of course our producer here in Philly, Larry. Thank you guys for all that you do. Have a peaceful, positive, and productive week. We hope to see you guys next time. Bye-bye.